right when he came down from the mountain. And that's when he told the minion of building the Mishkan. So Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's how he asks a question. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Chof Amid Beis that the Bnei Yisrael were commanded on three mitzvahs. Number one, they were niftaveh, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they had three mitzvahs. Number one, to coronate a king. Number two, to destroy Amalek. And finally, to build a Beis HaMikdash. And Pashtus is mashmeh, that it was in that order. They entered Eretz Yisrael, first the king, then to destroy Amalek, and then at the end, the last thing, Achron Achron Chav, to build the Beis HaMikdash. But it's mashmeh that that's the Seder Advarim. So that's the case. Why all of a sudden was the Seder changed? And right after Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Nias, they started building the Mishkan right away. The Mishkan is not really known until after they destroy Amalek. So Yaakov answers that this Gufa was a reason, the Cheta Egel was Gufa a reason why they had to start with the Mishkan right away. Because they were on the Madrega of Maimon Harsinai, they were on the Madrega of Malach. But for one small moment that they thought that they weren't connected to Hashem, they didn't have somebody leading them, they right away fell into a panic, and right away they were even Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they need something to attach themselves to. They need a makom where they can come and daven. They need a makom where they feel connected. So the first thing, he changed the Seder at Zarim, and the first thing they built him is. Now the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik B'Kadosh Levracha, once saw a shmoosh from him, how people go to tzaddikim for brachas, they don't realize that they should really daven on their own. Because he was a meister with the Yismach Moshe, they that Yismach Moshe used to learn in the Beis Medrash, and pretty often women used to come into the Beis Medrash and open up their kaidas. Their heads and start crying for whatever sorrow they had. So this story, the Yismach Moshe is learning, and he chased him out. And that night he had a cholin, a pasuk, he was a loishikit and kasani. Hashem does not discard the cries of an un. He took from that that this is the Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that people should come to him ask whatever they want to do. That was in the Mishkan. They should feel that they're not abandoned. They can have a constant kesher with HaKadosh Baruch. Another interesting ma'aseh, Kloisenberger Rebbe himself, he was a young child, must have been about 11 years old. And there was a person that lived near the shul in Rudnik. That's where he grew up. His father was the Rudnik Rebbe, Herschel Rudnik. There was a person that lived near the shul, not from openly Mechalel Shabbos. One night he started hearing strange noises coming from the shul, like whimpering and whatever. Okay, I figure maybe it's his imagination, but then the second night he heard it again, then he heard it again. He decided he has to go see what this is all about. The next night he hid under a bench around Chatzos when this took place. And sure enough, the door opens. A young boy who was the Rebbe's, the Rudnik Rebbe's son, the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He walks over to the Aron Kodesh, he opens it up, and he puts his head in, and he starts crying. Oh, he has to do tshuva for this and this. He did this aveira. And he starts asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tat and Himmel, Vashteiner's the Taisvus, I don't understand the Taisvus. Please give me Siyata Deshmaya. And all kinds of Yiduyim. To this fellow that's hiding under the bench who's not from. He says to himself, this pure child, he's saying Vidya and his Averis, what am I? Avachimer, Ben Menashel Kal Avachimer that I have to worry. And he became a Malzuba Gomer. And the word spread in town that this fellow became a Malzuba because of the Rav's son, and the Rav tried quieting it down. He didn't want an Ein Hara for his son. Okay, you see that Nidar Davis, having a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that keeps Klal Yisrael going, and that's why the Seder was changed, that right away HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah on the Binyan HaMishkan. Sheishas Yomim Te'oseh Melocha. 6 days, melacha shall be done. And on the 7th day, it should be holy. Shabbos, Shabbos, ain laHashem. A Shabbos of resting for Hashem. Before Hashem ask a question, the Chayyim should have said, Sheishes Yamin, Tahasem Melacha. Because the person does the Melacha. It doesn't happen by itself. Lashon Te'os says, Mashman, it happens by itself. Why does it say a Lashon of Te'os, it should be Tahasem? The Sefer Apirayim, Shlomo Maganswi, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, that when can a person truly enjoy Shabbos? If he has the Hakara and the Hashkofe, then all Malacha that he does comes by itself, which means it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the male of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on Shabbos, you rest. And you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the rest. But if a person thinks that it's his Hishtadlus, it's his efforts, it's his know-how, it's his kayak, it's my own power that gives me the parnasah, then he can have no rest on Shabbos. Oh, I can't answer the phone. Oh, I can't be on the internet with my business. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. And he worries the whole Shabbos. The Torah tells us, if you truly believe that during the 6 days the Malacha gets done by itself, then you can have emesik and menuchas and nefesh on Shabbos. But if you think that you're the one with your know-how and your efforts are the sole reason for your parnasa, then you can't enjoy Shabbos. But the Ma'aseh with Rav Akiva Eiger, when he was the Rav in Friedland, there was a terrible fire that destroyed Ruba the Ruba, most of the city. The Rav Akiva Eiger was a tremendous askin. He put himself into it to raise money for those that lost their houses to be able to rebuild. And within a short period of time, they were able to raise the money. And they hired workers to build the houses, but Rav Akiva Eiger specified the Kakrila. And when they signed the contract with the builders, they have to place as one of the main conditions, they may not work on Shabbos. And sure enough, they arranged that, and they made up they're not going to work on Shabbos. And Rav Akiva Eiger announced at Barabim that none of the building could be done on Shabbos. Yitzhak Meissen, there was this one wealthy man in town, and when he went to shul Shabbos morning, they heard banging coming from his area. And sure enough, there was workers banging on the door, banging, you know, building a house. So they went to him, they said, how are you talking? You know, this is a favor. He said, I want to do it. It's awesome. You make it a favor. He says he doesn't care. He has to get his house up as soon as possible. They went to Rav Akiva Eiger, and they told him about it. Rav Akiva Eiger sent their shliach to summon him. He wants to speak to him, but the man refused to come. So, Rav Akiva Eiger got up and he said a hachrozah, and he announced for Rabim again that there's a cheirim against anybody that builds his house on Shabbos, and anyone who builds his house on Shabbos, the house will not have a kiyum. It will not, you know, last very long. This fellow heard about it, he made a joke of it. His house went up pretty quickly, and it was like it towered over all the other buildings. And in a short period of time, the ceiling of one of them collapsed, the ceiling of one of the rooms, then the ceiling of another room, and he sent for a major builder to evaluate the house. They checked it out. Worms had eaten through the wood, through and through. And the thing was coming apart. It totally collapsed eventually. He had to rebuild his house. The pella is that the place where they got the wood for his house came from the exact same place where everybody else got their wood. It was all one, you know, forest. Afal Pi Kain, because it was done on Shabbos, it had no kiyum. So that is the koyach of Shabbos. It gives us bracha, and also it gives us a kiyum to our parnas. Es kala yachotzer, the curtains of the chotzer. Es amudav, its pillars. Es adoneho, and its sockets. So Rashi Bavon's a question. It says, as Kalei HaChotzer, as Amudav, its pillars, Amudav, is a Lashon Zachar. Because if it was a Lashon Kev, it should have said as Amudeha. But it says as Amudav, which is a Lashon Zachar. Adoneha is an Ashmet of Lashon Kev, or else it should have said the as Adonav. So which one is it? Is it a Lashon Zachar, the Chotzer, or is it a Lashon Kev? Rashi says there are many words that are both Lashon Zachar and Lashon Nekev. You find that very often. And this is one of those cases which is both Lashon Zohar and Lashon Nekevah. Every one of these words, which is both, you have to understand why is it different, and why indeed is it expressed both in male and female, Lashon Zohar and Lashon Nekevah. So the Taz, in Sefer Divrei David, he says, it's a Yodua, it's a Dover Yodua, that in the relationship between a Zohar and a Nekevah, the Zohar is the giver. He supports the woman. At least that's the way it was in the old days. He is the Nezain, so a Zohar represents the Mashpia. The Nekevah, who's a Makabel, the Mushba, that's the Nekevah. So Mimela, whenever you find Lashon Zohar, that is begetter Mashpia, giving, and Lashon Nekevah is begetter getting. Therefore, by the Chotzer of the Mishkan, it was both. Number one, it accepted the Hashpah from Shemayim. The Koyach HaBracha came into the Mishkan. So the Chotzer was a Mekabel of that. In that respect, it was in a Kevah. The Idr Gisa, it was a nice same Bracha to Klal Yisrael. Because whoever came to the Mishkan and they brought Karbanis and they did the Avodah, that was Mashpia Teva on them. So on the one hand, it's washing the Kevah because it accepts Bracha Min HaShemayim from above. But at the same time, it's Mashpia Bracha, B'tayrus HaZachar, to Klal Yisrael. A similar thing you find, so one of the Svarim, similar thing you find, that we say on Shabbos, we cross Shabbos, L'chuvin Elcho, ki hi mekar HaBracha. Towards Shabbos let us go, because he mekar HaBracha. He is a Lashon Nekevah. Yet mekar is a Lashon Zachar. So why is Shabbos called both Lashon Nekevah and Lashon Zohar? The answer is because we work hard before Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos and to bring it in with Tainuk. So on one hand, Shabbos is a Nekevah. It's accepting whatever preparations we place into it. Either Gisa, it's the Makar HaBracha, and it gives us Bracha throughout the days of the next week. So in that respect, Shabbos is both a Nekevah and it is a Lashon of Zohar. Bayoim HaChodesh HaRishon Be'echad LaChodesh Tokim Es Mishkan Oyel Mayit. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you should stand up the Mishkan of Oyel Mayit. So there's a medrash, the Psikta Rabos, the Amru Hanina. The emes is that the Mishkan was finished on the 25th day of Kislev. And it was folded up, wasn't established yet until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Like it says in this pasuk over here. But as long as it was folded up, and as long as it wasn't placed out, so the Yidden were complaining against Moshe, why is he not putting it up right away? Maybe there's some mistake there, maybe it's not working. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala the reason. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Bedavka to be in Nisan, because that's the month in which Yitzchak Avinu was born. And he wanted the Simcha of the birth of Yitzchak Avinu to coincide with the putting up of the Mishkan. However, Chodesh Kislev came with the Taina. I was supposed to have the Binyan HaMikdash. Why don't I get it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will pay back Chodesh Kislev with a different putting up of the Mishkan Chanukas HaMizbeach. In the times of the Chashmei Noim, Kislev will be Zaycheh to the Yontif of Chanukah when there was Chanukas HaMizbeach, when they reconsecrated the Mizbeach in Baal Shem. The question is, what's the connection between the birth of Yitzchak and the Binyan HaMishkan? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bidavka want it to be in the month that Yitzchak was born? And second of all, how do the Chashmei Noam have a shyness to this? So I once heard the Pshat, Yitzchak Avinu is the epitome of a carbon. Because he was makrib himself as a carbon on the Mizbeah. Ad kidei kach. That he did it with such a leiv sholem, he did it with such kavanah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Afroi Tzavur Lefanei. The ashes of Yitzchak are gathered in front of me constantly, and that is the greatest chus. What does that mean, that the ashes are gathered? Well, nice, Yitzchak wasn't burnt, Yitzchak wasn't geshach. But the Torah says he did it with such kavanah b'leiv sholem. It's as if it actually happened. So Yitzchak is the epitome of what a carbon is supposed to be. The Rishonim say, when we bring karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, when you bring an animal, you're supposed to think to yourself, "Be'etzem HaMakir myself." Now, because Baruch Hu wants me to live, he gave me the chance to do it al-yidei behema. Because Yitzchak is the ultimate in HaKrovah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the Mishkan should be put up in the month when Yitzchak was born. So, how did the Chashmenoam come into the picture? Because the emes is, the Chashmenoam were makruv themselves for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. We know that the entire Greek Empire, hundreds and thousands of soldiers were oppressing the Yidden and Ruchnias. There were many Misyavnim that were mitzarev to them. And the Chashmenoam started with 13 people. How in the world did they think that they were going to conquer over the Yevanim? Herod says they were makriv themselves. They were totally willing to give themselves over. Al kiddush shem shamayim. So they were me'ein this hakrava of Yitzchak Avinu. And therefore, their hakrava was zeiche to the Chanukas HaMishkan, the Chanukas HaMizbeach of Tishrei. Seven parshas Pikudei. Eila Pikudei HaMishkan. These are the reckonings of the Mishkan. Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan of Testimony, Asher Puker Alpi Moshe, that was reckoned Al Yidei Moshe. Rashi says, why is it called Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan of Testimony? Edus Li Yisrael, this is testimony for Klal Yisrael. Sheviter Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Maisa Ha'egel, that Hashem was Meichel them for the Chet Ha'egel. The fact that he rested the Shinah within them, with the Mishkan, that is the biggest proof that he was made for them for the Chet Ha'egel. So, the Parshim asked a question, why did you give the Mishkan as testimony? Why isn't that good enough with the fact that I could have known who gave them the Mishkan? And Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down on Yom Kippur. So that also is a raya plura that I could have was made for them. Why did you need the Mishkan as Edus? The show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was my chodah. So the Re'ei, for volume is back, he says, just giving those advice, final rank, even if he wasn't my chodah. Well, Maisha, there's still Yidin. Well, Maisha, there's still the sons of Yaakov, Avinu, and Yisrael, Abba, Pisa, Chota, Yisrael, who even if he didn't have Eir, he's still Yisrael. I would have said, Hashem gave them the Lukash Tiyais, because they still have to be Mekai. But that is not a rise that he was my chodah. Right? But now, that he was Masher Sinosai, Yisoycham, that's Edus Yisrael, that's testimony for Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Leib Sholem, and he wants to dwell in their mystery. You see this chat, Pashtus, Edus Yisrael, Edus for Klal Yisrael themselves. But the Taz, Sefer Divrei David, says that the Kasher Meikoro lesson doesn't begin with. Why? Because the word Edus is testimony to notify this fact to the Umas Ha'olam. Menela, the giving of the Lukas was something that happened within Klal Yisrael. And although the nations of the world heard about it later on by hearsay, but they didn't see it on their own. There was no raya to them, it wasn't a raya brura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meichel Klal Yisrael. However, when he rested his Shechinah, B'Seichenu, and there was the clouds on top of the Mishkan, you were able to see that from far away, and even the Goyim were able to see that there's a cloud on top of the Mishkan, and they saw that there was Hashroas Hashchinah. The Neila Enos Eli Yisrael. This is testimony about Klal Yisrael to the Goyim, that they now know that the Shinah is Shoyrein Klal Yisrael. The Emes says it's a Beferish and Medrash. Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherished Klal Yisrael, he brought them to Har Sinai, he gave them the Torah, he called them a Mamlechus Kehanim, but after 40 days, they were chayte. Oh, so like the Kechavim said, they did a chayte. Hashem doesn't love them anymore. Like it says in Eicha, Omru Bagoyim lo yisifu lager, Hashem is not going to be with them. But when Moshe Rabbeinu went to ask Rachmanos on behalf of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yoleich ha-moich them right away, like it says, Mayimer Hashem solachti kidvarecha. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu sholeilam, I'm appeased that you're Meichel Klal Yisrael, but I want the Umas Ha'olam to know about that also. So they shouldn't be able to make fun of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chayecha, I swear, I'll be Masher my Shkindle within you, as it says, V'osu L'migdash V'shachan T'Tzaycham, everybody will recognize, all the Goyim will recognize that I was Meichel Klal Yisrael. I was thinking, according to this, he can answer up Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's question we said in the beginning. Yaakov asked, But the Seder HaKorim, they first had to enter Eretz Yisrael. And they had to be Mamluk HaMelech. And they had to wipe out Amalek. And only then could they build the base of the thing. Why was it done right away over the years that the pieces is very good? Because of the Cheta Egel, and because the Goyim were saying, just hear about Kali Yisrael anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu begged, show that you love Kali Yisrael. The Mela, this is why they built the Mishkan right away. The last parashiyas in Sefer Shemai, starting from Truma, Ketavek, Hisisa, V'Yakov, Tzuda, all deal with the building of the Mishkan and the Kedel. That's primarily what it deals with. So, the Ramban writes in his Hakdamah to Sefer Shemais that the apex, the climax of Sefer Shemais is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested the Shechina beside Chlal Yisrael. And then they reached the Madrega of the Ovis HaKadoshim and the Yimais. But if that's the case, the Pasuk only should have said, V'lo yochol moi shalova yalai al moye, ki shochen alova onot, k'foy Hashem mila es ha-mishkan. So that's what we should have said. They should have said that the honor was on top of it. And Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go in because the Shechina was there. But there's two extra psukim over there that have no shaykhs to this. Two extra psukim. And when the honor left the Mishkan, the Bnei Yisrael started traveling. And if the honor would not travel, they wouldn't travel. What is that doing over here? If the main purpose of these sukkim is to show me that the Shechina was dwelling within Klal Yisrael, and therefore the cloud was there, why did it tell me over here that the honor would leave when it was time to travel? It should have said that in Parshas Maaseh. Parshas Maaseh deals with the travels of the Bnei Yisrael. So it should have said it there. Why is that necessary to tell it to us over here? So Yankov Galinsky, that's how it says. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph that says the Balocha of space there, when we take apart a binyan on Shabbos, is only when you take apart a building on the condition of rebuilding it in its place. So you're making room by taking it apart, I'm an ass live nice. But if you're taking it apart and you're not going to rebuild it in its makom, you're not over on Seisrim and not David. So you want to ask the question, what do you mean? The Malacha of Seisrim, which was in the Mishkan, where we learn out all the Malachas, that was not to rebuild in its place. Because if they took apart a Mishkan, they traveled to some other place, and they rebuilt it in a totally different place. So that's Seisr Shalom, and that's Livnais Vimakaymai. So why should it be good? So the Gemara answers, and Yosef says, Al Pi Hashem Yiso, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. It's all one big place. What is the explanation of that? The Yidden themselves were not going to any specific place. For the Yidden, they're rebuilding it in the same place. Wherever Hashem says we camp, that is where we are rebuilding it. So no matter where it is, it's all the same to Klal Yisrael. To them, it does not make a difference if they were in this town or in that town. To them, it was all one place. Wherever Hashem tells us to rebuild it, there was Seisam and Aslimnes from Kaimai. Because every place they rested was the Malkum, which the rest of Hashem was Geyser. That's where they should rest. So this is an answer to the Shaila. The pinnacle of Sefer Shemais is they were Nigolim completely. When they left Mitzrayim, they were still Avodim. Because the Eitzahara could still get the better of them. They were still afraid of the Mitzrayim. Even after the Mitzrayim died, that many Nisyanis. When they came to Eretz Yisrael could always be taken away from them. When did they become Nigolim? When they made up in their minds that whatever Hashem wants, that is what we do. The Ratzon Hashem is the Iker. Hashem if he's there, that is why this pasuk is mentioned at the pinnacle of Sefer Shemais. You want to know how they were in the Golem? When you see that every Makom where Hashem brings them is the Ratzon Hashem, then you know that they are Nigol. Then you know that the Hashkafas are straight and they're totally, totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody said to my wife yesterday in a panic, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu forsake us? Why is he doing this to us? You know, he left Klal Yisrael, he has forsaken Klal Yisrael. Pastor Sholem to even say such words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. We don't see the proper headlines, we don't see the proper commentary on what's going on. We don't have a Navi to tell us exactly what's happening. One thing we know, that we have to do the Ratzon Hashem. I'll finish off with a story. In Brisk, the Risker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, it wasn't easy for him over there because he had all kinds of factions. You had Haredim, Yidden that was Haredim. You also had secular Jews that B'tavka wanted to make it difficult for the Haredim. And they wanted to put their representatives on the board of the city. They didn't want that the tzedakah should be on, in the hands of the Haredim. They didn't want that the Haredim should have a kayak over the mikvahs or whatever. So there were elections. And both sides came over and put up Pashkvilen. They put up signs all over, vote for us. They said, vote for us. And the not from the Tiwaina, they were pretty, the signs that they had were pretty ugly. They said that the from it, they're not doing their job, they're smuggling, they're embezzling the money. And the from the investigators, they put up signs, no, this is the way it is, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. So the elections were supposed to be on a Mitzvah Shabbos. So both sides were going to put up signs on Erev Shabbos. It took very long to print those signs. The Frumma, they made a list of everything that they accomplished. Legabi Tzedakis, Legabi the Mikveh, Legabi Chinuch, Legabi Kasrus. And the Nach Frumma got a hold of this in advance, and they bedafke, they were mevazeh. The Frumma Yidden, they were mevazeh, the Rav, they were mevazeh every. Piece by piece, they took it apart in a very ugly way, and they even were mevazeh the Brisker Rav. When the signs were brought to the Brisker Rav, it took a long time to print them, and they brought it to him after Chatzos. The Rav took all of the copies, and he put it away in his house. They said, what are you doing? He said, we're not putting these up. He says, why? He says, because it's too late, and I'm scared that the boys are going to put it up all over. They're going to be Mechal on Shabbos. They're going to go past Shkia. Hashem, if he's there, I don't want to do it. Yeah, but I mean, they were going to lose the elections. He says, he quoted to them a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Sus Hashem, Sus, I'm sorry, Sus Mukhan La Mulchana. A Sus is ready for the Mulchana, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that makes everything happen. He says, L'maisu V'Sai Mechan Hashem, we have to do the Ratzon HaBayrei. Right, Sus Mukhan L'Yay Mulchana, the Hashem had Shua, the Pasuk in Mishlei. And he didn't allow them to put it up. The end result was that the other side put up all of their signs everywhere. And the people were so revolted by the miyaskite of the signs that they bedafka voted for the Haredim, the nice of the Haredim one. Biskarov said, we have to do the Ratzon HaBayrei. Whatever the Ratzon HaBayrei is, that's right. To us it seems that it's not good for us, but the Ratzon HaBayrei is what's best for us. And that's a lesson that we learned from over here. A good Shabbos, everybody. Yom Yer Hashem B'Korov.
Shabbos, Koyach.